praying that he's going to shut the fuck up.
Here, Dylan, let me help you.
You've clapped multiple times during this.
Yeah, it's going to be the last one.
That's fine. Welcome to Hearthfire Tales, where I hate my players.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Am I, though? Am I? I'm not thankful.
You know what, Jim?
Yeah.
I've never really used my sleight of hand, and I was thinking you've got a high dex.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on this sheet that I've used never out of pity for Dylan. Because of that, I'm going to start using them.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. Like, we've not done much thievery.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of outside of our characters, but...
I see intimidation score.
But now we're in the
high
circus.
Stealth score.
So we can start doing just...
Just living up to real bad stereotypes.
I think let's give up the band thing and become street magicians.
Oh my god.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, please.
Can we start theming things around cheese more? I feel like that's something we've been missing out on.
Is that what you took as your kit? It was a cheese kit?
I took an herbalism kit.
Cheesemonger's kit?
Cheesemonger's kit, yeah. Absolutely.
I should have this pouch of Renin.
I'm actually
If anyone wanted to find me, they just followed the trail of curds and whey.
Yeah, Bren is like, oh, I'm doing all I can to hide myself. How do they keep finding me? Maybe just a cheese.
Stings the cheese.
Just never without my brie.
The song, you think it's the devil in the street, but it's the devil with the cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Welcome back to Lethwan and the land of might, magic, and made-up animal companions.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey.
Do you think we're going to applaud that?
It's episode 42. Leave me alone.
I know. Isn't that an important number?
It's the life of the universe and everything. Yeah, it is.
Like, I always confuse that with 23.
Why?
Because that's also something? Used in a few works of fiction, including the one with...
including that cinematic classic, 23 and Me.
No, I think there's one just called 23. It's like a horror, like a psychological horror one.
And, of course, Blink 182 reference it in What's My Age Again?
Yeah.
You know, because no one likes you when you're episode 23.
Yeah.
Let's stop all this nonsense and do a roll for a recap.
No, I was thinking that we shouldn't actually do that. I think we should have a collaborative recap.
42 episodes in is a bold play to change.
Yeah,
things
like
up.
No, I've got an idea. So it'll be mostly me doing it, as always.
Okay, well then, in that case, I rolled a 19.
You know how Brandon
rolled
and I
a 4.
Okay, I rolled a 1. Fine.
convenient. Okay, go on. What bullshit are you doing for us, Ryan?
So, after, you know, our performance, and then we, you know, have this big old fight with Axel, and Axel has gone off, and we've discovered that Vespuccio is a dragon.
Yep.
And a lot has been said about town and the Hoots Force and everything that's going on.
Hmm.
So Cid is sitting around the campfire with Vespuccio and Melody and Bryn and Fink. It's just the five of them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, do we count?
The core gang.
Yeah, the core gang. Plus an Italian.
Fake Italian. Fake.
He made up Italian.
He very clearly stated very early on that wasn't his real voice, okay?
I know. All right, so if we can just recap a bit here. So, you know, I start out in town. And I don't know my dad, and you know, there's all this like mysticism about why my dad went off on this thing, and they've got town is like, even though it's like all based on knowledge and everything, it turns out that there's this like secret sect of like, you know, the elders, and they've got this like mystical being that like runs everything, and it turns out that there's a dragon that's now dead, but that founded town, right? Right? Everybody with me on this?
Yeah.
And immediately we decide, you all decide that, oh, a dragon founded it. Dragons hoard things, and so therefore, town must be a bit off. There must be some shady stuff going on, right?
I just thought maybe they were hiding information from you. I didn't say it was shady. I'm hiding information from people.
I mean, Melody, you came down pretty hard with the whole, like, Dragon's Horde. That's what they do. There are many songs. This is well documented that dragons hoard.
But they didn't state it was a bad thing.
Yeah, it's just what they do. I mean,
Vespuccio said that happens.
He hoards.
I feel like this was in context. You know, in context, it was heavily implied that town was a bit off.
Well, I may have implied that if town was Emeralia's hoard, well then, you know, perhaps she had her own agendas for that, or perhaps that those agendas were, I don't know, not serving the people and that they were serving her instead. I'm not sure. I was really trying to just look out for you, but...
Yeah, I was just trying to justify why town might have been hiding information on
but
you.
I know.
But, like, I think it's undeniable, Sid, that it was a horde. You know, you said yourself that Rakara said it was a horde, right?
I know, but like what I brought up at the time was that hordes can still be shared. Things can still be freely given from that. Right, Vespuccio? Or are you kidnapping our joy and we're all getting sadder and we're all gonna, and you've been with Jeff the longest and we're all gonna turn into Jeff the more we're in this circus?
Well, I hope nobody turned into Jeff because he's a piece of shit. So, no, I mean, in terms of like, the riches and the material aspects of the horde. No dragon really wants to share that. I, you know, people can use my jug, but my jug is still mine. And I want people to do it. But in terms of like the happiness that I have around, no one can own that. And that can be, you know, happiness is better when it's shared.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing that I think that's great. And that's the thing. So, you know, we left town and we went out traveling. Bryn joined up with the band and nice to have you, you know. And, you know, a lot of shit happened. Like, we killed some Hoots Force. We had a big argument about whether that was a proper thing to be doing or not. You know, we had a big moral dilemma there. And we went into the Fey Realm. And there was a big moral dilemma there of whether we should kill people or turn them into pets.
Yeah, there has been quite a lot of moral dilemmas lately.
Yeah. And then we joined a circus.
Yeah.
And it turns out we are real good at being in a circus.
Yeah.
Bryn fucked an elf.
Oh, she's a half elf.
Yeah.
Oh.
I only half fucked an elf. Although at the time I was a half orc, but the other half was elf. So there was one full elf in the making.
Mm, there we go. In the making, is she pregnant?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
full veto.
Full veto on that. Not touching that.
I'm not giving that more than a syllable.
And then, you know, we hang out with Vespuccio, and we immediately trust Vespuccio because you're a trustworthy seeming guy.
Yeah.
And so immediately the thought process is... What? And so immediately the thought process is that, oh, Vespuccio has no ill intent with his horde. Right, Melody?
Well, yeah. Yeah?
I'm just saying.
What are you saying?
Yeah. Are you justifying the hiding of knowledge?
I'm just saying. I think that sometimes something that is like very well-intentioned and nice and a beautiful idea, like hoarding happiness... And surrounding yourself with happiness.
Or glasses with mirror hats with little mirrors on them that can look up for dragons.
Exactly. Perfect example.
Or musical instruments?
No.
No. Yeah.
No.
Or music in general.
Thank you.
Can be corrupted.
Oh.
By the people that use them. For example, you know, somebody could use a nice hat to look up girls' skirts. Or somebody...
I don't want to hang out with you anymore.
Or someone could use music to tell lies.
Well, no one would do that.
Or people could start taking the hoard of knowledge and being bad guys with it.
Well, is that not why Rakar was keeping it secret? Because she didn't want bad guys to have the knowledge?
No, because it's always supposed to be that if everybody has all of the knowledge, that then everybody's on an even playing field. Like, town isn't supposed to be deciding who's the good guys and who's the bad guys. It's totally neutral party, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
But it seems like maybe some Frenchmen got in there and have now started causing problems.
Well, I mean, elves are everywhere. They're ubiquitous.
I know. It's just, I was so surprised by... That's still Sid's voice. I was just surprised by the Frenchmen in the amount of them, I suppose.
Yes, well, it's almost as if Dylan can only do a handful of accents.
Assign them to one of the core fantasy races.
Yes.
Yeah. Good formula.
100%. Yeah. 100%. So, I'm just saying that I think that maybe Vespuccio, am I right, that maybe we shouldn't just, you know, jump to consider that if there's a dragon, that there's ill intent behind the horde.
No, I don't think that's what we jumped to. We were just trying to explain why stuff was being kept secret from you.
I mean, that's fair.
I fucking love dragons. I love this future.
Well, everyone loves dragons. Well, almost everyone. Fucking Hoots Force.
yeah.
But, okay, and so what are you going to now do with this information, Sid?
Yeah, what's the plan, bud?
Well...
What does this change for you?
I think that it means that even though, like, Town was saying, like, oh, keep this stuff secret, I think I want to keep living by what the tenets of Town are. Not changing just because I've been promoted up, you know?
So you're just going to tell everyone what you learned?
Yeah, I don't like lies, you know?
Yeah, but you don't have to lie to people. You're just maybe not telling everything to everyone all at a time. I don't go around telling everyone that I'm a dragon.
I don't want to vomit out information. But I just mean
look at it this way, bud.
And there's some secrets I'd rather you kept.
Yeah, if I was very, you know, if I don't even need an example. You wouldn't tell people about me, would you?
No, of course not. But I just mean, see, those, it's very tough. How do you be completely neutral?
Yeah,
I think,
I mean,
you know,
I don't think you can be. Like, I'm sure there were towns and villages and forces that tried to remain neutral in the war, but the other people don't care.
I think the best you can do is be reactive, you know? Don't go looking for trouble, but you got to be prepared for it when it comes to you. Probably the same with secret keeping. It's up to you when somebody asks for information, whether it's good for them to have it or not, or whether it's yours to give.
I suppose.
I mean, maybe we only give out information that's helpful for the world. I mean, I'm not sure any of the five of us here are moral paragons, but, you know, should we be trying to understand maybe what the greater good is here and what we do for that good? Like, if we're setting ourselves up to go against the Hoots Force and Michaela has sent us here to investigate them, maybe eventually take them down. Well, we need to be sure of what the good is in that first, I think, and just act towards that.
But if it's okay to hide things sometimes, then that makes, like, a little inkling of my dad not being as much of an asshole, and I'm not comfortable with that.
Well, Sid, I think that goes beyond what any of us here can do.
All right, fine.
Hold on. Let me get that armchair and we'll talk about this.
We'll call it a night there.
So, sorry, Vespuccio, we were telling you what happened, I think.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of the... We've been, like, traveling for a couple of days now since I revealed myself as a dragon. You guys have probably filled me in on everything, so...
Yeah. Okay.
And it seems like, you know, we had that big fight with Axel.
Yeah, yesterday. He's a bit of a dick.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
Yeah, we could say that's yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah. Like.
Or even just that night. And maybe that's what.
Yeah,
it's prompted. Vespuccio to kind of ask about him. And
I would have drop kicked him for you, just so you know. I would have done it. Both feet, horizontal, in the air.
But yeah, he was my best friend growing up, Vespuccio. Well, I thought he was. But he was my mentor's grandson. And, you know, I always thought of him as a bit of a rival, but it's turned that rivalry into a dark place. But I don't know. Maybe the last we see of him, I hope he turns his life around.
Well, I don't know him, but he put on a good show. He managed to kind of make it very entertaining for the crowd. So that was a good thing.
I forgot there was a crowd there. Well,
I thought it was good. If you ever wanted to open a fight club, I'd watch.
I mean, I'd hope you wouldn't just watch, and I'd hope you do a lot of the fighting.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, excellent. I heard about all those giant wasps you took down.
Yes.
So, yeah, maybe we can just herd up some giant wasps, and you go and you kick them.
Yeah, they can feel my sting.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, anyway, I think this recap has gone on long enough.
I felt like his players hadn't really talked about the moral side of a lot of what has gone on recently.
It has
been a lot of big developments. So.
There has been a lot of big developments.
Yeah, it's force and everything.
And as you guys are discussing these things, you're on the road. This last village that you had stopped in was kind of your last stop before Banner. And so you have like a full day's travel ahead of you. A night passes, nothing. The next morning, you head out and you would kind of know Cid, I guess, from having studied maps of Lethwan and stuff like that. And kind of, you know, you probably have like, I think we established before that you have a map in your book. Like all good fantasy books. You are now crossing over from like the official kind of like western half of Lethwan to the eastern half across what is now the Northern Highway.
Okay.
And
you think the water flows in the other direction here?
I mean, maybe if we go to a toilet and flush it, it'll go the other direction.
Go the other way around. I'm going to do my hook kick spinning in the opposite direction now that we're here.
Is it like very hot if we're near the equator?
No. So
this is the equator of Lethwan, not of the globe.
It is. Yeah, it's not. You're not so much at the equator, so. I don't think this has ever come up before, but Lethwan is southern
hemisphere.
And this is more the like Greenwich Mean Time line that you're crossing over, you know? So it's more that you're going from like, officially, you know, this is more like the general kind of kingdom of Vestor in general, which is mainly like forests and all the elves kind of rule over there.
Yeah, I heard they're going to take your children.
Yes.
Because they can.
And then you're kind of crossing over to the east now, but you're kind of near the north, so you're kind of like what is essentially like a tri-state area, to like steal from like American terms.
Yeah.
Where you're kind of like in this, you know, not too far to the north is the Tuohon Empire, where Rowanar is, where you started your
battle of the bands. The trees of Vestor.
You have the forest of Vestor to the left and the region of Azumakia as a whole to the east. And you know you're kind of in this general tri-state area.
Okay.
And as you're traveling for a couple of hours in the morning, you come across the highway, which you've maybe never seen before, Cid, because you would have typically kind of avoided the highways, preferred to travel through forests and things. Bren, you've probably been on the highway before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Melody definitely has and stuff, but for Cid, you see this. It's kind of like it's raised up maybe 5-6 feet off the ground, super wide, and wide enough for like 8 carriages or something. And it is like paved in this kind of like, when the sun hits at a certain angle, kind of looks prismatic.
This is ley line shit.
And there's kind of like little ramps up to it at certain areas.
Yeah, on ramps.
On ramps. It's a highway. Mm.
Are the carriages going 120 kilometers per hour?
So as you go onto the highway, what you realize is the key to why the highways have become such an important aspect of trade in Lethwan is that everything suddenly feels lighter.
Mm.
Bren, if you were to jump, you would be able to jump higher.
Oh, no, I was going to have some tricking times.
All of the carriages, everything on it are physically lighter, as if gravity, you know, as if there's like a quasi-levitation spell or something on it.
Okay.
So that people can walk for longer, they can travel, they can carry more, they can, you know,
move faster.
Horses and things like that can move faster without getting tired, enabling just much more rapid transport. You guys are only on it for a little bit, but like you clear easily double the amount of distance in that time that you would on normal ground. Probably even more, because you're not then, you know, worrying about like loose rocks, like throwing a cartwheel and stuff like that. You know, they are super well maintained. You're seeing, you know, plenty of other like merchants and stuff going past them. Mm. And you go down, travel on for maybe a couple of hours, and you take an exit and you come across the town of Banner. Even Vespuccio, kind of when he sees it, comments on how it's grown even more than the last time he's seen it. And you'd know you're also kind of relatively close to Valega from this, like, Vargas maybe only like a day's travel south. Mm. This town has really kind of like become, while it's off the highway for a little bit, it still has become very much like a
gateway city.
A gateway city, like almost like kind of like a commuter city. Kind of like a lot of people would stop here. There's a lot of like trade and stuff here
before the city left.
It's that kind of thing, and it has just exploded in terms of like population density, in terms of like everything. And you approach it, and you see like quite a small central town that is like surrounded by fairly well-made wooden walls all around it, but sprawling, like four times the size of the central town, is essentially like shanty town kind of vibe. Like, yeah, it's almost like it's half very clearly temporary structure. Some of them are just tents. Some of them look like they're maybe like market tents that have been set up. Some are maybe more permanent. Some are more kind of like hasty lean-tos that have been like set up. Some are kind of like half in the process of being made more permanent, as maybe, you know, businesses and things are becoming more successful, so they're trying to like really put in roots here. But there's just so much activity everywhere. It's probably 10,000-15,000 people live here easily. And if you were to kind of look at your map from this, maybe at this point, maybe like a year or so out of date from when you first had it, you like Banner would have been like very like a blip on it. You know, it was like probably like noticed like, oh, this is like an up and coming town. It has clearly just grown and grown and grown.
How long since you've been here, Vespuccio?
Oh, I was here, like, I think I said previously, 3-4 months ago.
How much has it grown since then?
I mean, and you guys are still kind of like at the outskirts, haven't even gotten to the outskirts, like you're looking down at it. And he kind of like points to a certain point. He's like, well, it only extended to there. And you see he kind of like, there's another, I would say, few rings of buildings and tents and stuff around it. So it's like just like grown and grown and grown. And obviously as each ring grows, it's more and more people as it gets bigger.
Why are all the people coming here? Is it refugees? Is it just people trying to get closer to the city? Like, that's an insane influx for such a short period of time.
I mean, I think a lot of the surrounding towns and villages, well, you know, they all come here to trade because they can get access to the highways easier, so they can move goods. But then, you know, maybe they can't afford to spend all the time going either up to Rauhinor or to Valagar, so they'll do like interim trading here. And then just a big kind of culture has like built up on trading. I think everyone just sees it as a good place to trade, and people come here to there's no refugees. I mean, maybe people looking for a new start, but, you know, not from a danger point of view, maybe just from a hope point of view.
Okay.
So yeah, it's, you know, I think it's just become a place where you can kind of get anything you want. That's why I ordered the tent to be made here.
Oh, your tent is here?
Yeah. Okay. You want the guys to come and help me pick it up?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I love going great lengths to get tents.
Again, wildly deep cut, because me and Jim in 3 weeks have to drive halfway across England to pick up a tent.
Hey, Ryan, want to do Empire with us? No.
Someday you'll LARP.
You're lost, bud.
I'll wait until you have all the tents and everything.
Vespucci kind of like points out, you know, one of the last kind of areas in the general vicinity of this town doesn't look to be about to be overrun by people trying to claim ground there. Mm. Kind of like sets Jeff and everyone to go just kind of mark that area out and kind of claim
That's a
it.
Good idea. People will move away from him.
Yeah, he's usually good at kind of like, you know, clearing a space. While Vespuccio kind of like brings you guys into the, what's, you know, approaching almost city status at this point.
Yeah. Like permanent buildings.
Yeah. And so you guys are like walking through this, the outskirts, which again is just a load of people just peddling kind of anything. Just like people peddling scraps, just like hustling and like running scams and stuff at the side of the street. Just like, you get a feeling that there's a lot of people here who are just, you know, trying to take advantage of this, as well as people who are legitimately moved here to try and
open shop or whatever.
Open a shop or make a living, or who are just here temporarily because they've made like a trip from places like Stone's Reach, or like, we're going to come all the way down, set up shop here for a month or so, head back up, that kind of a thing, you know? Mm. As you go through, you're seeing a load of little shrines and kind of statues and like things all around to a god called Joaquin, who is the god of merchants and trade.
Is it a phoenix?
It's not a phoenix.
Is that W-A-K-E-E-N?
W-A-U-K-E-E-N. The legit just from the book D&D God of,
I figured,
of trade and coin and stuff. And as you're kind of approaching the kind of more towards the center of the town, you know, you're kind of like, Vespucci is just like kind of bringing it to shops, and he's like, oh, look at this one. They sell, you know, nice little trinkets. This one sells, you know, like rugs. This one sells, you know, tables, whatever. And as you're kind of like, you know, just popping your head in every so often, each town or each one of these buildings has just like a little like coin tray, you know, like one of those like leave, like take a penny, leave a penny things, just like take a copper, leave a copper. And he's like, remember, it's always very good luck to trade in here. So you just take one copper from one place and you bring it to the next place and you take that, and they'll just make sure you do that. Don't steal it. They really don't like that. Just trade is super important for them. He's like encouraging you to like take a penny. Everyone kind of is just like very happy that you're doing this. You're like, oh, Joaquin's blessings on you and all this kind of stuff, you know? You start walking in further and further. Just this like little town crier boy kind of thing. And he's like, Welcome everyone. Step up to the newest market in town. Are you all ready for the stock market?
Perfect.
Okay, I'm a bow out for 3 episodes. Go on.
I mean, I've got to be Sid though. So I'm just like, oh, there's something, you know, I'll write it down. Maybe I can send it back to, you know, like our commerce like specialist.
Yeah. Hey, kid, you look like you're interested in the stocks. You want to, there's some kids that look like you there.
Hey, this guy wants to put you in the stocks, Sid.
Yeah, what is this?
Oh, we'll see. You go to stock markets, the prices are always changing, but you see what's good one day and you go, you buy some things, you have a bit of fun, you know?
God damn it, Dylan. So literally a trade stock market.
No, I think he's selling stocks, like that you put your head and your arms in the middle of the town square.
Or celery stocks.
you can buy some celery, yep. You want celery?
So this is...
good price on celery today.
So you buy goods, but the price changes.
Yeah.
So then I can resell it for a different amount.
If you want, sure.
Who's hired you?
Oh, the stock market itself.
Oh, okay.
So this gives the power to the individual buyers.
Oh, well, this is a an initiative by our great leader, Pecunia. She has decreed that the stock market is a good and blessed thing from Joaquin himself to ensure that the trade flows freely through the city.
Sounds like they're walking a line.
Now, can I buy a contract that... like, if I expect that the price will go up, that I can purchase it later?
I mean, that's kind of a little bit beyond the scope of what we're kind of going for here.
So I'm not going to do option trades.
But look, he's like, he kind of gives you a little map towards it.
Melody!
Yeah?
Is this a good way that I can learn how commerce works?
Well, I've never heard of this before, but maybe. I mean, this seems to be the place to go if you want to learn about trades and money and things like that.
Okay, this seems like it's safe. And that you can certainly go in with no experience. Or
Bren has just a vision of a line going down.
And you approach this huge tent. It's like quite, looks like a very permanent kind of structure, you know?
Is that your tent, Vespucci?
Oh, no, but it's a lot bigger than what I would want. But this looks like Las Vegas style, like mega tent kind of a thing, you know?
I think that should be your tent, Vespucci.
And you approach and there's like there's a chalkboard outside that's listing loads of different prices for vegetables. Okay, yes, we've got a special on celery stalks today. Tomatoes, always good price on tomatoes. What would you like? What would you like? Come up, sir. What would you like?
So, if I buy the vegetable stock, like I'm not trading it back to other people.
Oh no, what do you mean the vegetable stock?
Isn't this the stock market?
It means if the top of the vegetable.
If you want to, make stock with it, sure. It's kind of not what most people are doing here.
What are people doing here?
Well, they're buying vegetables and using them.
Oh, okay. So I don't get the concept of the stock market here.
Okay. First one is free. Don't worry. She hands you this like overripe tomato and kind of ushers you in. And you see just rows and rows of people in stocks. Heads and...
I knew it!
And you can throw vegetables at them.
And you can throw vegetables. And based on what the prices are of vegetables each day, you can choose which vegetables you'd like to throw. And these are all people who have stolen.
I'm interested. Stolen?
Yes, well, that is against Joaquin's wishes. And they must be punished for their actions. After a suitable amount of time, they'll be released, of course. But, you know, we want people here to engage in rightful trade. So Bakuna has this decree that there is a stock market set up so that those people who are doing it should be punished.
Do they have their crimes written above
their heads? I had Ryan so, so excited for it.
It's swap now. Now I'm excited for it.
I was apprehensive. I think I'm probably more excited now.
There are not crimes written over the head. This seems to be a singular punishment reserved for thieves.
I walk up to one of them. What'd you steal?
Stole some bread.
Why'd you steal the bread?
I was hungry.
Okay, right. I don't like this place anymore.
So, Melody, or Bryn, like, I've got it, like, the whole thing, you know, it's not like town. Like, you know, stuff isn't given freely, you know, like... You know, it's not a commune.
Yeah,
obviously, most of the world isn't. But is this what they do in cities to people if they're trying to feed their families and don't have enough of the money?
Yeah, most of the time, cities aren't good places.
This is a little bit extreme. But most places, yeah.
I mean, it's not systematic like this usually. But
no,
if you're caught robbing even to feed your family. You know, it's kind of down to whoever catches you.
There does seem to be a lot more of an element of shame in this than in most places I've been.
How do the people in the stocks?
I'm assuming look, they're
like, does it seem like they're okay with this?
Yeah, and you see that you kind of ask around, you ask this kind of like person who's like in charge. Most of them are only here for like a day max.
I want to find where there's a bachelor party.
This is not like a torture kind of thing. This is purely a shame kind of like, how dare you go against Joaquin's wishes and, you know, harm the town this way. And it's very much kind of like, you know, she's giving you this kind of like little rundown tour. And she's like, well, you see that it's important that the right channels are followed to ensure that trade,
absolutely.
This is how the town grows, this is how each of us as individuals grow, and how money flows through the kingdom.
Right, let me ask you this then.
Yes?
You making a lot of money off this?
The city is.
Oh, so you're profiting off of this?
Well, kind of, yeah. Well, we see.
So you're profiting off...
Well, see, what we do is we buy all the vegetables that's going to go off, so we actually help those other merchants who are going to lose money from that. And then we sell it to people who want to help shame those people. And then these people here get reformed so that they no longer steal. And it's all, we hope that this doesn't continue. But I mean, if we're going to make some money off it, sure. And it helps everyone.
Okay. Undermine my argument pretty concisely.
Do you have any like food, like shelter programs for like, you know, there's a lot of people like that look like they're not living well. Like, is there any charities around?
There's some people, yeah, that have... Look, to be honest, Bakunia has her work cut out for her. She's been running the town for years, but it's...
Grown a lot recently.
Yeah, we're kind of, as a city, really trying to just...
Can I offer a thought? Sorry, not to cut across you.
Sure, yes.
The money you've spent on this tent could well have been spent just to feed the people who are stealing the bread.
I mean, possibly.
Yeah, and then you could just, you know, take the gone-off food and turn it into a stew. You don't need to... be putting people into the stocks.
I'm not sure if Joaquin would approve of that.
I have a world-building request.
Sure, hit me.
That bachelor parties in Banner, that it's kind of a thing that you go into a shop and make a big deal of, like, stealing
something,
some candy or something like that, clearly to be caught, you know, and that then the stag gets thrown into the stocks for part of the day. You know, like, it's a thing.
This is funny because you've stumbled your way into the next thing I was about to reveal.
Okay.
So you could take that as a win because, 100% that can happen. And you probably see that a few of that happening.
It's like the stag's there and they're trying to get people to come over and use their fruit. 100%. On their stag.
And, you know, there's one particular stag party. This is like half orking stocks, and all of his other half orc mates are just like, you know, just absolutely pelting them, and then, you know, inviting loads of people over. They're just like, you know, just real like rowdy boy stuff, just like smacking them on the arse and things like that, you know, just like giving them a real hard time.
I wanted to be able to use my fruit, but I wanted to feel good about it.
Yeah. And they're like, yo dude, you gotta like look that rotten tomato, you gotta go, got someone to charter a boy here. Ben deserves it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's who you've given his namesake to.
Yeah.
Oh, we only got the one tomato, Ben. Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to cut it in half and give half to Brent.
Oh, no, I don't want that. No, those guys scare me. I'm socially intimidated.
Come on, dude. What are you doing?
Sorry, I oh, Melody, hi. Bye. Brent, just no.
Okay, I'll give half to Melody.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to use my sharpshooter feet.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm just gonna fucking, I'm gonna have Fink go stand next to him so I get advantage.
Sure, yeah. You absolutely pelt this guy. You get him right at the bridge of his nose. It doesn't break his nose because it's a rotten, right. But like you can see, like the juice gets right in his eyes, and he's like, "What are you saying?" He's like, "Dude, I hate you." And as you're kind of like having this like very much like good natured fun as part of it, you see that there's a group of kids over near the further end. And I say kids, like between 12 and 15 kind of vibe. And you see that one of them is a little bit older and he's in the stocks, and you see that they've kind of like come in and are making a big deal of like, "Fuck, Declan, what the fuck are you doing, man? You're an idiot. You're an idiot." And they, like...
Ben and Declan.
They...
Yeah, I noticed that.
And I'll explain why it's Ben and Declan at the end of the episode, slash in the backstage pass. But they are a lot less good-natured about this. And they really give this guy, like, a beating. Like,
I think Bren's going to see that and not be all right. Like, they're chucking fruit at him.
They're drugging fruit up, and then they go over, pick up the fruit, like, deck him.
No, Bren is fully already in front of him stopping that.
Like, okay. Yeah. And you see Declan's like, "Oh, fuck off, dude. I deserve it."
"You don't deserve it. It's fucking dumb. All of this is fucking dumb, but this is the dumbest bit of it. What are you bricks up to?"
And you see that the leader of this group comes up, and he's a kid of maybe like 17.
Yeah.
Are you watching this happen as well, Sid?
I see that there's a confrontation and Bren has gone over, so
okay.
I'm on my way, I suppose.
Okay, give me a perception check with disadvantage. Bren, give me one, just a flat perception check.
Dirty 20.
10 for me.
This guy comes up, this leader of this group. "Look, dude, Declan's our bud, all right? But he fucked up. He's got to learn his lesson. So just leave us to it. Okay?" And as he's talking, and the other guys, they're not really surrounding you. They're not like, they're not super intimidating.
Yeah.
But you can tell they're trying. You notice that each one of them, with a dirty 20, each one of them has some form, whether it be a tattoo, a patch, earrings, makeshift jewelry. Like one kid has a bow, like a, an earring that's like looks like a bow in one ear, and
bow
a sword
and or
yes right. And a sword in the other. One has a tattoo of like a bow that looks like it's pulling a sword back to fire it, you know. Other just has like a crossbow with a sword. And the main guy's like, look, this is between us and Declan. What's your story here? We don't...
Yeah, no, I don't like seeing kids get punched, even by other kids. So I'm gonna draw a line here, little buds, and tell you, stop.
Look, why? Wait,
like, what are you, some kind of gang? What's with you tatted up? What's going on? Come on. What's this? And I look at the earring, like, what, a bow and a sword?
Yeah,
some fucking bow swords? That's a dumb name.
Aw.
Look, you wouldn't get it, all right?
Why don't you explain it to me?
If you want to come by the house later, and then you can learn if you're into. But like, we
don't know what the house is, dude.
And you see that, like, this guy Declan in the socks. He's like, dude, just let
you go. All right, I axe kick off the lock on the stocks.
You do that, and suddenly, like, you're one who was like in charge, just like runs over. He's like, hey, what are you doing?
They're beating him. Is that part of it? Physical violence.
Well, it's not really what we want to encourage. It's kind of
probably best that you let this go. Don't worry, I won't tell anyone.
She kind of like
roll persuasion.
No, she kind of like looks around and she sees like all the kids and she's like, honestly, I've got enough to be dealing with. Like, fine, you've been in here long enough. Just go. And you see that they all kind of like they look at you like shoot like daggers at you for a bit, but like you see that as they leave, like they're helping Declan, like
that's better.
They're putting his arms around their shoulders and like looking after him. They're like, yeah, look, come find us if you want to know more, but whatever, like, don't just stick your nose into.
Sorry, bud, that's what I do. Where's the house? I'm gonna come stick my nose in it later.
What's Sid doing at this point? As he kind of like, as he's seen, like, you know,
catching up with Bren, but slow getting there because Fink is eating all of the food,
yes,
on
100%,
the ground. 100%. So literally dragging him by his tail.
Yeah, look, if you're really serious, you want to help, you want to learn, yeah, come at sundown. And he gives you like directions, like, we're hanging out here at the moment. As they're like walking out, kind of like looking after what seems like very kind of uncharacteristic like tenderness towards their friend Declan. The leader is like kind of like striding forward, and he kind of like bumps into you, Sid, and he like looks you up and down and he goes, brazen, dude, respect, and kind of like gives you a fist bump.
What am I getting a fist bump for?
Did you say that in character?
No. Yeah, what am I getting a fist bump for, dude?
Dude, fucking wearing it so proud like that, it's fucking metal, dude.
I'm thinking about what I'm wearing. I've got my vest, I've got my bow.
Yeah, and you also have a big sword on your back.
Oh, I've got a bow and a sword. I'm like, oh, what? Do I know what's going, what they have with my 10?
With a 10, no, you're kind of too far away. You can give me another one now that you've kind of like, you've seen them up close.
Okay, 14.
You 14, you're not, you're kind of just like taking.
There is a person my age being social with me. I don't know how to react in this situation.
And Fink is like still like, you know, like pulling you away like a dog on a leash, you know, trying to like see other dogs.
Yeah, so I fist bump him and I'm like, yeah, cool, dude.
Yeah, are you with this guy?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, you come later. You're good. Why doesn't he know? Tell him to get his shit together. Come on. We'll see you later, dude.
I have decided that this guy must have studied at town because, you know, I'm wearing my town like pen and everything. And I'm wondering why he would think that's a bad thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been trying to get him to, you know, to pay more attention.
Yeah, excellent. Do that. We'll see you later. We'll see you later. Right. Anyway, yeah, name's Dexter. What's up?
I'm Sid.
Yeah, fucking right on. Right. See you later. See you later, Sid. And then they all leave.
Brent, I think I made a friend. I think he must be from town. I don't remember him being there to study. He must have been part of the exchange programs or something.
Town is like the number one export of disenfranchised youth in Lethwan, isn't it?
I don't think so. What was going on?
They were just kicking the shit out of that kid in the stocks, so I stopped them.
But it looked like they were being nice to him.
Yeah, when they took him out of the stocks.
Oh.
I mean, that's no excuse.
He said that I'm...
The fair weather friend situation right there.
He said something about how he was, like, impressed that I was, like, wearing my, I think my town pin so proudly.
Yeah, he wasn't impressed with me, but he gave me an address.
Okay.
I think we should, you know, inform some adults that they're gathering.
Well, it might be a good way. See, at the different towns we've been in, I've been asking the, you know, the youths that have been running around to kind of like spy on the Hoots Force for me.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's a good shout.
I always bring them a lot of food because it seems like in these places, like, food is like hard to come by.
All right, well, I was thinking we should get a load of food and just give it to people anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I am very down for that.
Yeah, all right. Well, then let's go get some food. We can
let's do that.
Distribute it, and then we can go to this place once we're done.
You said there's a ton of, like homeless people and stuff around.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Well, not a ton, but, like, a lot
there's
more.
There's a lot, yeah. And, like...
I'm guessing Bren and Melody would maybe stop us from being too open about the fact that we're trying to get food and be a charity.
Bren is literally going to pay someone to set up a bread shop. Like he's gonna found a charity here.
You guys are welcome to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
That is up to you.
I mean, how far does our money go to be able to like?
We have multiple platinum. We're fine. Like,
yeah, I mean, kind of judging by the price that they're selling like rotten fruit for, I think we're still pretty good. Like, it doesn't look like prices have gotten too high. It looks like there's a lot of people here, but there is a lot of still supply. Of goods and food, so...
I think we should go out to the edge of the town, find one of these people who's come here to start a business.
Okay.
I would give them money to start this thing for us, so it'll go on when we're finished here.
What about those kids? I mean, they seem well organized already.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Okay, let's just go straight to them with the business adventure? Adventure? Business adventure.
Just adventure.
No, it's a business adventure.
We do have to advertise it, so that's where the ad comes into it, yes.
Fair.
You know, some time passes, Vespucci goes, picks up his, like, tent, you know, all, like, four of you have to, like, help carry it. This thing is fucking massive, you know.
What color is it?
Red. Oh, it's a red and white striped tent.
Oh, perfect.
It's a circus tent.
All right. Just making sure.
Yeah. It's, like, starting to early afternoon. Takes them a couple of hours to put up the tent. The performance is maybe starts a little bit later than usual kind of to put this up. You see that Vespucci is now like charging people to come in, whereas previously it was very much open air. Anyone can watch.
I figure that wouldn't go down well here anyway. Joaquin wouldn't approve.
And he's also like, oh yeah, and look, people here, they can afford it. There's a lot of people with money. So, you know, and I want to be able to, you know, buy food for everyone here, so we need to make
you're
some
a good
money
guy, Vespucci. No, I get it.
Yeah, you guys do your performance and stuff as normal, and then kind of night falls as to when you know you guys have been invited to this clubhouse.
Is it in a tree?
Sure.
Yes.
let's scope it out first, will we?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're gonna sneak up.
Yeah, give me some stealth rolls.
Sure.
19,
18.
Have Melody roll as well. Yeah, not too bad. They got like 15. And yeah, you guys sneak up. There's this like big treehouse set up. It's relatively big for like a treehouse, but it's not like the size of an actual house or anything. It looks like they've kind of like cobbled together lots of like different kind of like scrap materials, stuff like that to kind of like build this. It looks like it has like two rooms kind of a job in it. It's more kind of towards the edge of town. And as you've been kind of approaching here, you see that the far side of the town is more not wilderness, but it's, you know, it's still kind of countryside.
Yeah.
And it looks, there's this like a big kind of area near where this treehouse is set up that looks as if recently enough has like caved in or something. But yeah, you approach, there's like a couple of lights on in this treehouse and you hear like a little bit of chatter. They're not really trying to, you know,
ask what they're doing.
They're masking. Yeah, this is kind of just everywhere in this town, people have just found places to live. There's no city planning here or anything like that. It's just kind of it's a free for all. It doesn't seem like you guys are detected in any way. What do you do?
Eavesdrop. Yeah, unless there's something else you want.
No, I'm just trying to think if eavesdropping is. But yeah, we'll give a listen before we do anything.
You guys sneak up and begin to eavesdrop, and you hear Dexter, the leader, be like, "All right, dudes, dudettes, this is the plan, all right? These guys have been just wreaking havoc. We don't want to have any sort of authority come down and wreck our way of life here. We gotta strike back. We gotta take what they have. We gotta use it for ourselves. We gotta get Mouse. They have the means. We're gonna do it. Whatever comes to it. And and at this point he's like very, very kind of like animated, as if he's kind of like, rousing the troops, kind of like giving a motivational speech. And then it gets a little bit harder to hear, as kind of there's a lot more kind of like crosstalk starts happening and the conversation kind of naturally dips. But from what you can give me, perception checks.
Technically this is a dex check because we're perceiving Dexter.
Very good. Please still only roll perception.
11.
Oh, I got a nat 1 on that.
You guys can't fully make out what's being said. It's just kind of just too...
I'm going to roll a look
noisy. Okay.
That's only an 11 again. Oh. I don't know why I had to think so hard about that. It was the same number. As soon as there anything I can do now.
Bren, it seems like these guys are like, anti the establishment that's been here, which is like, basically... shaming people for just not having enough money to buy bread. Like, this seems great.
I don't know. We don't know who they're talking about. They just said these guys.
And, like, the Hoots Force are definitely probably one of the, main established ruling parties here.
It seems like they're pretty impassioned. Let's just walk in and see what they're up to.
Yeah, I mean...
we can walk in.
Yeah, so we'll knock on the door.
Yeah. Like
you want to knock on the door. I'm going to jump in the roof.
Oh, okay. I'll knock on the door. This will help you sneak in behind them while they're...
You see this girl opens the door. She's kind of got like fiery red hair. She kind of looks up. She's like, you're that guy from the market earlier. Yeah, I can see. Yeah, Dexter pointed you out. Yeah, you're cool. And you come. We're waiting for you.
Hi, my name's Sid. It's great to meet you.
Dude, aren't you like... You're like... 30, why are you so awkward?
30?
Yeah.
I'm 18. You look
so old. Oh, okay.
Life has been hard.
You look really like, yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 14.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean.
So you're like ancient.
Dexter's 17.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, 17.
Get out of the way, little kid.
Okay, fine. And you see that Dexter kind of like looks over at this and he's like, my dude, yeah, God, come in, what's up? Guys, what did you say your name was again?
I'm Sid, is this like a study session?
Yeah, I mean, technically, I guess we're studying.
Oh, nice, what are you prepping for?
A heist.
What?
we're gonna stick to the man.
I mean, that sounds cool, but what? I see. So this is like one of the like history studies on like espionage.
Dude, what the fuck is wrong with you?
What the fuck are you talking about?
What? Why are you here?
You said because I'm from town.
What the fuck is town?
What?
Dude, you're clearly a fucking Bowsword.
Oh, yeah. I was one of the founding members of the Bowsword, but we're not called that anymore.
You're not a Bow... Like...
Yeah, me and Khan. That was our band name.
What?
What?
Not.
I'm Sid from the Bowswords.
Yeah,
we're not called that anymore, though.
I'm Dexter. Yeah, like no one like Bowswords. Like just like a movement. We're the offspring.
Yes, Dexter. I like your hair.
Thanks.
This is.
But yeah, I mean, like Bowswords is like a. It's a way of life, dude. It's like you're not, you are a Bowsword, but like you're not from. You can't be from the Bowswords, dude.
But we're the ones that started it.
Yeah, get fucked. No way.
Yeah, back in Stone's Reach with Hector.
Well, I don't know Hector. I don't know you, but like, he looks around. And he's like, yeah, dude, the Bowswords fucking killed some Hoots Force. They're our heroes.
Fuck yeah! And I pull out. What the fuck is the name?
Steel Wing.
I pull out Steel Wing, and I'm like. This took one, and I pointed Fink, and I'm like, this took another.
You killed Hoots Force?
Hell yeah, dude.
Fuck, we can use you. Okay, right, here's what's happening, dude.
Okay. I imagine, Bryn, you're not very thrilled with me. Just
yeah, I'm just up on the roof at this point.
Okay, dude, here's the plan, right? About a month and a half ago, one of our members went missing. My sibling, they're called Mouse. There used to be these tunnels nearby, and we used to go hang out in there. That was our clubhouse before, you know. And we
the house of Mouse.
We were messing, like, we're playing around, and then they just something weird happened, and like all of the tunnels and stuff shifted one day, and we just couldn't find them anymore.
Shifted?
Yeah, it was real fucking weird, dude. And so we were like, we're so worried. Now look, we all kind of like some skills and abilities, and he kind of like clicks and has like, you know, a little bit of like fire appears in his hand, and he's like, you know, like, I've got, you know, a bit of magic, you know. Mouse had been, we had this this druid teacher, and like she had taught Mouse how to like good berries and things like that. So like we were doing really well, you know. And then suddenly like they disappeared, and so we were like, shit, we gotta find Mouse. And we thought, oh, everything's gonna be okay because the Hoots Force came. We're like, great, they can save them. And then they just came in, destroyed the tunnels even more, said it was not safe to go in, and just left. And so we haven't been able to get in. Mouse is, for all we know, still in there. So,
oh, that's not good.
But it's okay, because recently there's been, they're trying to extend the highways, and so they have these like items that will like move earth. So we go take their items, and we go and we try to use that to get Mouse back. And like they're all just government workers anyway, so like fucking we just go fuck their shit up and we take it and we get Mouse back. Fuck them for trying to, like, you know, who knows where those highways are going to go. I think they're going to go through all these trees and shit anyway.
They're going to destroy the trees to make more highways?
Yeah, obviously, dude.
This is awful.
Yeah.
And I'm like looking around trying to find where Bryn went. I'm like, oh, Bryn, we, where, have you seen a pirate? Are you a pirate?
No, at the moment, I'm just like a 48-year-old man.
They think you're the legendary Khan.
Yeah.
Have you seen the old dude that's... What?
No, what? Dude, I just thought... Honestly, I didn't really expect him to come. He kind of seemed like a bit of a loser.
No, he's actually real cool. I guess he must have gone back home. But, like, no, he's actually all right. He would want me to say that, like, look, yeah, there have been some bad Hoots Force, but we can't just go with the idea that anyone, like, just because they're in government doesn't mean that we should just kill him outright.
You feel a tear fall on your head.
Like,
I'm so proud of you, bud.
You know, yeah, we did some things in the past, but I think even the other founding member of the Bowswords would agree with Bryn that you've got to think about people as people.
They're not fucking people, dude.
The government workers?
No, they're coming here, dude. The fucking Hoots Force have ordered them to do this. Like, why should we respect them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not convinced that there's anyone in the Hoots Force that is a good person. So, I mean, otherwise they would have outed their own bad apples.
Yeah, and like, if these guys are, you know...
But I don't think we should, like, fuck up the government workers.
Why? They're being paid by the Hoots Force. They're doing the Hoots Force's job.
To try and feed their families.
So come and fucking join Banner, start up your own business, trade property.
Well...
We can do it here. They don't need to do it with fucking...
Yeah, I mean...
From blood money.
I don't know enough about the world to know how easy it is to get other jobs. So, like... It's how you just study what you want to.
Well, look. If they resist, they go down. But if we can go in and just steal their items, well then...
No, hold on. I don't think we should kill anybody. Like, alright. If you're... Like, that was a part of the bow swords. Like... Protecting people. That was the whole thing in Stone's Reach.
Yeah, we're protecting Megs. We gotta save them.
Yeah, and we will, but we don't want more collateral damage around the way. Like, Khan went down in Stone's Reach because instead of just taking out what the problem was, he decided to save those around him.
You keep saying, like, Khan and stuff. I don't know who that is, okay?
He's the other founding member.
Dude, you keep saying founding members and shit.
The reason the bow swords exist is because of what we did in Stone's Reach. Because of what Khan did in Stone's Reach. And so if you turn it into just a violent free-for-all for your own selfish gains, even if it's just about one person, if you put one person's life above everybody else's, then you are going against exactly what it meant to be a bow sword.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. Look, all I care about is getting my sibling back, okay?
Yeah, and we'll do that. Like, I'm down.
Okay.
But
help us plan then.
Okay. I mean, I don't know about stealing shit, but like, what if we bring it back after we're done? We're borrowing it.
I mean, that'll not get us thrown into the stocks, so.
Yeah. I mean,
Brent's just gonna drop from the roof.
What the fuck, ah! Dude?
Hey,
what the fuck?
Why are you got old men in your. Oh, it's Brent.
real fucking tight ship you got going on here. Well done. You should trade for it. You should trade for it. They'll respect that, and you're not technically stealing.
They're not going to trade for it, dude. It's like...
It doesn't have to be a trade they're aware of. Just leave something there. It's not like you're taking the moral high ground here anyway, Mr. Hashy Slashy.
Oh, is that how trade works? You can just leave stuff in somebody's home if you take something?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Man, every day learn something new about how the world works.
Okay, well then...
That's kind of how it works in town, though. So that's right up my alley.
Yeah, for sure.
You're just trading knowledge. You trade, you know, what you have.
Just make sure it's of equal value and you're good.
Ooh, leave a book.
And perceived value is okay as well.
Especially if it's a rare book.
Okay, look, we're not huge readers, but yeah, if you have a book or something, we can find something, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, again... Look, it's been... it's been months. Well, it's been...
Months?
Well, it's been like 6 weeks. It's almost 2 months, like...
Jesus, did he have food?
Well, yeah, they could cast Goodberry.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did say that. I was listening from the roof.
Did he have a source of light?
They,
sorry.
But like...
Sorry, you said brother earlier.
Did so, I? I meant to say sibling. I'm pretty sure I've been saying sibling consistently.
I heard sister, so clearly we've not been paying attention.
I think it's because I pictured Mouse from The Matrix.
Oh, right, yeah, I was picturing Mouse from a LARP.
Oh, so. Okay.
Look, I don't, like, yeah, they probably cast light, but it's... I don't know. I don't know where they are. That's yeah. The thing. We scoured that place. But as I said, like, all the tunnels changed, and then the Hoots Force came and fucked it all up. So, like...
All right. Sorry. Let me interject here as the seemingly adult one in the room.
Yeah, dude. Are you retired, or what's your story?
Yeah, you're as old as you feel, bud. So you said that this happened when the Hoots Force showed up.
Yeah, well...
The tunnels changed when the Hoots Force showed up.
The tunnels changed, and then, like, a couple of days later, the Hoots Force showed up, and then they caved it in.
Hey, all right, Sid, no, hey. Look, I know what's happening here. The tunnels changing was the portal opening. Oh. And the Hoots Force caving it in was them stabilizing the portal. That's what they did here, right?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So, like, when I was in the Feywild... Do we know what's called the Feywild? Did I give it a name? When I was in the Tim Gym, they said... one of my good friends over there told me that there was a human loose there.
Oh.
A small human. Said a small human, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
We can reckon to say there's a small human.
Oh, yikes.
Do you think that's Mouse?
That's scary.
Mouse is pretty small. Yeah, they're only like 13.
But they were protecting him. It was the other ones that wanted to take him out. They were mad about it, right?
They all didn't want a human in the Feywild.
Yeah.
Yeah, the general prevailing vibe got was that they were not happy. There was incursions, particularly again from humans.
Yeah, well, for
if
sure.
If we can get back to a portal.
Yeah.
What?
No, sorry, I had a great idea. Go on. I'll reveal it later when it's narratively fulfilling.
If we can get to a portal, I have a ritual that will let me find him.
Okay, perfect.
And well, I know there's a portal. I scratch here, my head and wink at you, Brent.
I scratch my head and wink
because
back.
I'm pointing at the...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Circlet.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good shot.
I can cast locate person.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you do it like,
look.
Well, here, like, the,
they just seem very okay with stealing powerful items.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Keep that.
And you see Dexter, goes and he's like, this is Mouse's, favorite brooch or brooch.
Brooch is acceptable.
Just a mess. We found it in the tunnels, but we couldn't find them. Will that help?
Do you have a picture of them?
We can draw a picture. Yeah.
If somebody's a good artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll help.
Yeah. hey, Noodles, get drawing. You see that, like, girl with the red hair. She's like, yeah, all right. And start, like, takes out a scrap of paper and starts, like, doing this, like, really, like, immaculate sketch of what Mouse looks like.
That's pretty fly.
So, I can cast it now, but...
No, wait till we're...
In the Feywild?
We don't know that it works between realms.
What's the Feywild?
It's a place.
You guys kept talking about, like, portals and stuff?
Yeah.
Click into brain.
Beep, yeah. Beep, bitch.
Do we have to deal... Can we just go get this person? Do
is
we have
this,
to deal with this?
Is this one of those situations where you all were talking about, like, maybe we shouldn't give up all the information that we have?
Yeah, and I'll tell you now...
Am I already doing that?
I've probably said too much mentioning the Feywild, but, like, if we tell them about this, guarantee these kids are going to sneak in there and then get turned into pets. Yeah. So, let's keep it to ourselves for now, and we'll just go in and out. Quick adventure. Quick hawk. In and out, no problem.
No problem.
We just... This
always goes well.
Historically, this has been fine.
So out loud, I'm going to go, hey, Dexter, how about... So you guys can help out with... Actually, no. How about you guys chill out here and we have a bit of a business proposition that you can maybe start working on.
Okay.
And it's an adventure.
And we'll do the... bow swords business, because we're quite well equipped at this, and maybe we can go get the ring. And, you know, because these heist missions, I'm sure you're well aware, stealth in general, better if there's fewer people.
Yeah. And we're clearly better at stealth than you, because you didn't even know they were here. And I point up at Melody.
Yeah. I've been here.
I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, and Dexter's like, okay, well, yeah, look, there's... The workers are using this, like, this staff that seems to be able to move earth. They're camped over at the other side of the town for now. That's where all the workers... But if you can get that, then we can use that to get into the tunnels again.
Okay.
Do you think that's where the portal is, beneath the tunnels?
I mean, probably. If that's what's shifting.
I'm assuming this is in brain space?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't respect them enough to speak out loud.
Yeah.
He's not spoken out loud at all since I've cast it.
Just eyeballing them intensely.
You keep forgetting, like,
the only thing I've said is that's pretty fly.
Look, that dude, you do whatever. Look, you I don't know if I believe you that you're like our founding member, because you seem like way too young for that, but like,
look, we got patches printed in Stone's Reach. Poorly say, because they're made on the whatever that material was that they made.
Sawdust.
Yes, it smells like sawdust.
It's like papyrus made from sawdust.
Yeah. It's like, look, dudes, there's chapters of Bowswords all across the north and northeast at the moment. Like, everyone's claiming to be a founding member. So, like,
how the fuck did that happen?
I grab your shoulders, and in the brain space, I'm like, we're famous. It's happening.
But you seem like... Look, you seem pretty buff. You seem like you can hold that sword. So, I mean, like, if you can get that staff and you can use it to find Mouse, yeah, like, we'll do whatever adventure you want. We want Mouse back, okay?
Yeah, like, yeah, we'll see what we can do. And yeah, I'm a founding member. This is the bow. This is the sword.
He, like, puts up one arm. He's like, and this is the sword. He has a sword tattoo. And this is the bow.
Because you got those made of these.
Whatever, dude.
If it helps, I don't know what he's talking about.
And you see, he's like, okay, well, look, here, I'm going to show you. And he brings you over to a table where they had been, like, gathered around this map where they had been, you know, planning their heist. And he's like, look, they keep all their equipment here in this shed. It's pretty well guarded, because I think the magic item is, like, pretty powerful. But I don't know how much you, like, know about magic items, but, like, most of them, like, recharge at dawn. So, like, it's going to be locked up until dawn. So as long as we get it before dawn and move in, they won't even notice.
Okay.
And then this will be easy, bud.
Then dawn strikes and we can get it.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay, well, look, we're really helpful that you can, you know, really grateful that you can help out. We just, again, want to get Mouse back. Please, please help us.
Yeah, we'll do it, bro.
Thanks, dude.
And, yeah, we'll go.
Yeah, we just go. Will we go get it now? I think it'd be easy.
We need to find a late, because it's night. So he said it's still locked up, so we can't get it at night. That's what you said,
Doug? No, I think we have to get it at night.
We have to get it at night. Okay,
because it'll recharge at the moment. At dawn. So they've, like, locked it up, because it's like, oh, they've used all their charges for the item. They're waiting for dawn to for it to recharge, and then they'll take it out.
Yeah.
So you know that it's going to be in there until dawn, basically.
Being in a medieval magical setting, mm-hmm. you know, there's not DVDs and VHSs, obviously.
Surprisingly, there's not, no.
But there's probably pretty spicy, scandalous books. And so I'm going to go, as we are walking in the area, when we go past a sexy Argonian sex shop.
There's definitely a smut shop there.
Yeah. And I'm like, there's a dragonborn dress real suggestive.
But I see that they're selling books.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what is your, most expensive, your fanciest, book?
Our fanciest smut? Well,
I don't know what
we're here for. A large heaping of spice.
Your book that is the most coveted.
Oh, there's plenty within its pages that you can covet.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to buy it.
Okay. You look old enough. That's fine. There's no laws here.
By a week.
This dragonborn kind of brings you in, sells you a book of very dubious sexual content.
Oh, no, Sid, I've already got that one. I take it out of my bag.
Oh, well, I figured that since this is a highly coveted book, I don't know what else was going on in that shop. That was terrifying. But then we could trade this, like you said.
Yeah, that's an incredible idea.
Because if this is worth a lot, then it must be equal value of the staff.
I think when they go in there in the dawn and they find that instead of their staff, they are going to be so happy.
Perfect. I don't even want him to roll persuasion on that. No, I'm believing him wholeheartedly.
You guys go to this other side. And this city is or this town is not sleeping at all. Mm. Like, there's still people up trading all night. But you approach kind of a more quiet area where you see that there's roadworks, essentially. You know, a load of earth has been shifted into this mound that will eventually kind of form another part of highway. And you see that there are two guards standing near this shed that's heavily locked up, made of metal. And as you guys are scoping out the place, that is where we will leave this session.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
There we are.
Perfect.
I can't wait for the next episode. Break into a shed.
The highest stakes ever. So yeah, that is that for this week's episode. Thank you so much. Jim, I know you usually have a standard kind of script. However, uh-huh. I'm going to jump in ahead of that and just say...
Fun.
Wow.
Just say...
Wow.
Come to our fucking live show. I dare you all. I dare you do it. I bet you don't have the bravery for it.
You bunch of craven fucks.
You're all so craven.
We'll bring back Angry Con if you don't.
Tickets are on sale now. This episode is releasing end of April, so it is less than 3 months away. So come to our live show. It's going to be amazing. It is on Saturday the 13th of July. Tickets are on sale now. You can find the link to it in our link tree, which will be in our episode description. It's in our social medias. It's in our Discords everywhere. You'll probably have seen us posting about it a lot, but yeah,
you'll come get to our live show.
You will get a free hat. Won't be a good one, but you'll get a free hat.
We don't need to tell them that part.
Emotionally, it'll be a very good hat.
It'll be a very good. Yeah, you'll have a lot of nostalgia tied to this hat.
You'll be able to put value on it, not because of its material worth, but because of what it's been through.
Yeah. And one last thing, I just want to give a shout out to Ben and Declan from DA Stops. Dungeon, who both gave me the idea. They kind of helped generate some of the lore for Banner on their stream, Ben Declan Roll. So thank you so much for that. I used some of your ideas and didn't use others and twisted some of the others. And I appreciate it. I'll talk more about what they were in the backstage pass. But
Did you trade them a smut book for their ideas?
No, I just sent them sexts.
Well,
so same thing.
Right? You said I sent them sex, and I was like, "How did you do that?"
Through the power of text message. Yeah.
Emoticons.
Emoticons. Just so many aubergine emojis.
Many fucking pickle emoticons. Right.
That is a joke. I did not do that. I wouldn't do that.
Hey, you, listener, I'm segueing into the end of this episode now. If you did enjoy this episode, please leave us a review on your platform of choice. Follow us on our own socials and join our Discord. You can find links to all of these and more in our link tree, which is in our bio in most social media platforms. If you would like to show a little extra love, please consider subscribing to our Patreon. It gives you access to lots of behind-the-scenes stuff, including artwork, composing, the Backstage Pass, which is an exclusive mini-episode to follow each main episode. And that's all from me this time.
Yeah, and you can also get merch, including like exclusive stickers, cool t-shirts and stuff as part of it. So yeah, there's a lot of cool things happening at Patreon. I do a
Discord section where we will, I don't know, harass you
with so many aubergines.
Nope, that's not there.
So many aubergines.
You can also. Hey, look, if money's tight, we understand. Yeah, you can also sign up as a free member to our Patreon. I'm overdue for this month because I didn't realize we got into a new month, but I usually do a monthly kind of State of the Flame update. It kind of just gives it a bit of everything that's going on, which I'll probably do tomorrow. But yeah, any and all support is greatly, greatly appreciated. And speaking of support, Con's here to give out to you.
Hey, what's it going? I'm not going to give out to you this time. I'm subdued. I've been subdued up here in fantasy heaven.
Or is it hell?
Yeah. No, not you again. How's it going? First off, I want to talk to all of you about someone who's very, very close to the podcast. That is Kira. And that's not Kiera. Which I've been told it sounds like I'm saying. But no, Kira, who is a friend of the podcast and has been a supporter for a very long time. And Kira would like to shout out a very special one this time to Bruno and Fernanda and baby Luca, who has just hit the scene, I believe, when this episode releases. So
nice.
To you, baby Luca, it is my absolute honor to be the first person to ever shout you out on a D&D podcast. we hope it's all going well for you guys and you're enjoying it. Take it from me, it gets real smelly real quick with those things.
The babies.
Secondly, to Becca or Quadruple Bacon, and this is going to be a double shout out.
How are your hands?
Check out Quadruple Bacon art everywhere, but actually this time the shout out has been directed towards you, Ryan, and Becca would like to apologize for complimenting you.
Becca, do you want me to tell the story on air?
I think it's funnier if it's just passive aggressive.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
But tell us on the backstage pass.
Tell it on the backstage pass. Right. Yeah,
because I want to know.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Following on closely is a small legend in the Irish D&D sphere. This is Keith. And Keith would like me to shout.
He's new to the shout-outs as well. Welcome to the shout-outs, Keith.
Yeah. Oh, it's your first shout-out, and I'm here to say that you've done something wonderful. Now, one of the things I love even more than swords and fighting is a good castle. And if you like castles and if you like D&D, well then, have I got news for you. Because our man Keith is running games of seasonal D&D in a fucking castle in Ireland. And if that hasn't rocked your boat more than anything has ever rocked your boat before, there's something wrong with you. Because it's just the fucking greatest experience. You show up, you're in a big castle, there's incredible DMs, not to toot my own horn, sitting there playing tailored games of D&D for ye. And you get to talk to them beforehand, work out your character, work out your story. You show up, a lot of people cosplay, there's people selling stuff, there's an old library. The whole thing is incredible. Whopper experience. So go check out D&D Era to reserve your spot in the next castle game, because they happen pretty frequently. Now, after that, we have Rookie DM, who, as I have always maintained, might not actually be a rookie. I think he's lying to everyone, because what he does is he gives incredible tips for D&D, NPCs, maps, you name it. All the content you could ever need for run your home game, available on Rookie DM's channels. Find them on most social medias, I believe. Following on from that, we have the Dreaded DM. So moving from rookies to dreaded entities, Dread Caitlin is a friend of the show. You might know her from our streaming games. But they run D&D content at conventions, in libraries, in person, at their home, and online. So if you want to be part of any of them, except maybe their home, hit them up on social media, and also check them out on our stream, The Wizard of Wild Space. And then following them, we have someone who is a mystery to me. I've threatened violence to them and received nothing in return. It's Welshlander, living in the shadows of my imagination, maybe? I'm not sure. But either way, the threat stands, and the love is real. So to you, Welshlander, I say thank you for your continued support. And when we do meet, our battle's gonna be epic. And then finally, we have extremely long-term friend to the show and notable sneaky boy. We have Luke. Luke, thank you so much for all of your continued support to the podcast. We love you. Goodbye.